I'd like to start today by reading from John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, because it's going to form the basis for everything that we're going to talk about today. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand.
Amen.
We read that and we're comforted by it. And we see that and we think, you know, once we've given ourselves over to Jesus, we don't have to worry anymore about the possibility of losing our salvation. That's what we usually preach from this passage. But I remember when I first remember someone preaching from this passage. My father, I believe, was the one preaching, and he was majoring on the part that says, "My sheep hear my voice." And it really stuck with me. Because, well, Lord, have I ever heard your voice? Have I ever heard you speak to me out loud? Well, I believe that there's more to this than just simply hearing an audible voice. Not many of us have heard an audible voice coming from the Lord. Actually, I believe I did hear something like that when I was just a child, although I don't think it was actually through my ears. I've told that story. But there was another thing that happened when I was 17. I was going through a little bit of a crisis of faith, you might call it. I was just thinking, Lord, it's too hard. I can't do this. What you ask is more than I've got. I don't know how to serve you. I don't know how to do this. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Well, my conscience wouldn't let me do that for very long. And I did some things I wish I hadn't done. That'd be too terrible. Just came back, though, up to the front. We had gone to some special service at another church. I don't remember where it was. We were in Kansas City, Missouri at the time. But I went up to the front in repentance. And I remember getting on my knees, and there was a man there praying with me, and I said, Lord, I just want to hear your voice. Now, whether the man truly spoke with the voice of the Lord, I don't know, but I think so, because the question carried a lot of import for me throughout the following years. He said, are you ready to hear my voice? Well, what a question. I mean, don't we all want that? If we're sincere followers of Jesus, don't we all wish that he would just say what we need to do so we could just do it?
Amen.
How many of us in our prayer life have wished that? Lord, just tell me. I'll do it.
Right.
Will we? I think sometimes the Lord doesn't speak to us the way that we ask Him to out of mercy. Because we're really not ready for what He has to say. So I'm going to ask the same question that was asked of me today. Are you ready to hear His voice? Are you ready for the relationship?
Amen.
Are you ready for the cost? Are you ready for the responsibility? Are you ready for the reward? Isn't relationship what we're seeking?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're told, right? We're to begin a relationship with the Lord. And when we relate to someone here on earth, we want to talk to them. We want them to talk to us.
Yeah.
But what is a relationship? It's a partnership where both parties participate. So is a relationship really what we want? Or do we want just God to tell us what we want to hear and give us what we want? Isn't that often what we want out of this? We want more of a one-sided deal. But that's not what God requires of us. That's not what He's asked of us. He's asked for everything we've got, everything we are. He wants a relationship with us, a real relationship. And just like any relationship that we have here on earth, it requires something of us. It requires time. Time indicates priority. Who gets first priority? I've learned something over the years, even with devotional time and prayer time. I used to do it in the evening, mainly because until my beloved came along and influenced me the other way, I couldn't stand to go to sleep. And you've got to have sleep somewhere, so if you're not getting it at night, you're going to have to get it somewhere else.
Yep.
So I would find myself getting up just in time to get ready and go to work. But I would always say, well, I'll do my devotional at night. Well, something would always come up. I would say that, you know, at least 50% of the time, probably more than that, I didn't do what I set out to do because there was always something else that would come up. So what I've learned is that God needs to get your first fruit. Isn't that something that we also learn from Scripture? He gets your first. He gets your best. I think one of the biggest lies in probably around the world, certainly in America, one of the biggest lies you'll ever hear, and most of us have told it, including me, I didn't have time. Yeah, you did. You didn't make time. Exactly. We have time for the things that we consider important. So do we consider a relationship with the Lord important?
Amen.
Are we willing to work on it? Are we willing to talk to Him? How many of you know you can't have a relationship with someone you're not willing to talk to? That was one of the things Linda had to get through my head. You got to talk to me. I'm still not very good at it, but I'm working on it.
Do you have like no scripture for your daughter? Do you have no scripture to start the Lord? Or can you...
Do you have to know? No, you don't. It helps to learn. I'm going to talk about that a little bit because you don't. All you need to talk to the Lord is just to do it.
Yeah.
That's all prayer is, just talking to Him.
Yeah.
And why is it that we expect a one-sided conversation? We want to hear from Him, but we don't talk to Him. But then there's another side of that. Some of us talk too much.
Yep.
Amen.
When we take time to pray, we also need to take time to listen. I mean, you know, you can't hear very well if you won't listen. So we need to make time when we're involved in that prayer time to listen and hear. And one of the ways that we make time to listen and hear from what the Lord, what He's saying, is we read the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, if we have trouble reading, you know, we can get it auditorially. There's more than one way to get the Word into your heart. In fact, everything I do is really through my ears. I don't do much with my eyes. They're not much good for anything.
I wonder if we don't understand how to know this God. Well, if we don't understand how to get going,
I'll catch up with you after. I tell you, because it's hard to hear from up here. I'll catch up with you after.
Okay.
But are we ready then also for the cost? Because there is a cost. You know, in the scripture that we read, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." So when you hear Him, it requires something of us. And we follow. Are we willing truly to give up everything that we have? If He asks. This is a question that I ask myself, and honestly, I don't always like the answer.
No.
We've all read the story. We've studied it a couple of times over the past year of the rich young ruler who went away greedy because he said, well, if you really want to be perfect, sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Mm-hmm. If the Lord asked that of me today, could I do that? Wow, I don't know.
No.
That's a pretty scary thought, isn't it? That is what the Lord requires of us, if not in fact, certainly in our willingness, in our hearts. It all belongs to Him.
Yeah.
But do we have to do those people?
Are we ready for the cost? Jesus was our example. Jesus says something very amazing. When you think about the fact that He is the Lord of creation, come down, incarnate. Look at what He says in Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 25. And to set this up, His disciples, James and John, just made a power play to try to be part of His kingdom, to be rulers in His kingdom with Him. They're going to sit on the right and on the left in His kingdom. They're still thinking about an earthly kingdom. So they're fighting and fussing over who's going to be the greatest. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus called them to Himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus provided our example. We also have the story in John 13 of Him going around and washing the disciples' feet. And I'm pretty sure, I didn't double check it, but I'm pretty sure Judas was still in the room when He did that.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Are we ready for the cross? Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34, He summoned the crowd with His disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. When we choose to follow Jesus, it requires something of us. It requires that we speak out. It requires that we be His witnesses. And you know what? If you are a witness for Him, and if you are living the life that we're called to live, persecution comes. Now we should be thankful that so far in this country, we don't really know what persecution is. We throw that word around like we know what it is, but the worst we ever get is somebody calling us bad names or maybe cutting us out of a job. I know some people that have been fired from positions that they were in because they spoke out for the truth. But nobody here yet is being tortured or killed. But it's happening around the world more than ever before. And I don't know that there's not going to be a day when we see it here. But our lives are not our own. There's a cost. There's a responsibility. When we hear His voice and obey what He tells us to do, there's a greater responsibility. I said earlier that I think sometimes it's the Lord's grace, the Lord's mercy, that He doesn't answer that prayer when we say, I want to hear your voice. Because Jesus said in Luke, it's not one of the scriptures I have up there, but He said in Luke, to whom much is given, much is required. When we're given direction from the Lord, we now have a responsibility to do what He told us to do.
Amen.
Are we really ready? James said, don't let not many of you become teachers, because there's going to be a greater judgment for us. When God gave Ezekiel a special mission to be the watchman on the wall to warn the wicked, He said, if you don't do it and they die, I require it of you. I require that blood of your hand. It sounds like I'm trying to scare you away from hearing the Lord's voice. I hope you understand. That's not it. But it's a serious thing that we're asking. So, the last thing I want to talk about is, are we ready for the reward? Because there is reward. We just talked about persecution, so let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 10, it says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That doesn't sound like a very joyful experience to me. But there is a joy. You see it over in the book of Acts as the apostles had just been flogged and they came out rejoicing that they'd been counted worthy to suffer for His name. But there is a joy every day. And I know that some of us have experienced it. When we've done what the Lord told us to do, and we know we've done what the Lord has told us to do, there's a joy in that. There's a joy in fellowship. Have you ever been in a good worship service where you felt the presence of the Lord? And there was a fellowship there, and there was a special thing going on there. There's no description for that. There's no way to put that into words, what's going on there. There is a delight. There's a delight in pleasing Him. The closest thing I can compare it with on earth is, you ever do something when you were a kid, and your parents expressed delight in what you did, told you what a good job you did. I hope everybody's had that experience. I know some people haven't had that.
And I
pray that for those who haven't had it, that you find that in your Heavenly Father. Because I want to tell you something today. He delights in you. Whatever you've experienced in this world, He delights in you. He loves you. And it pleases Him greatly when you listen to Him and when you do what He says. Because why? Because it's for your good. Because it draws you closer to Him. Because it cements and strengthens that relationship that you have with Him.
That's right.
And there's a heavenly reward. We're promised a reward in heaven that we don't really even have any way of knowing what that's going to be like. I tell you what, though. I don't know what those rewards are like. I don't know what mine are going to be. But I know this. I know that just being with my Lord is going to be a reward in itself.
Amen. Amen.
His sheep hear His voice. What does that mean? I think one thing that it means is when we have that initial experience, when we have that initial calling, when we come to that place in our lives where we realize, I need Jesus. and we hear that call. We may not hear an audible call, but we hear that call in our lives and we repent and we know, I need a Savior. I need Jesus to take over my life. I can't do it. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are we ready? Are we ready to pursue that relationship, to spend that time, to pray, to listen, to read from His Word? Are we ready for the rewards of that relationship? Are we ready for the sacrifice? It's all His anyway. Might as well give it to Him.
Amen.
No sense in hanging on to it. We can't keep it.
Amen.
Are we ready for the relationship? Are we ready for the responsibility that comes with hearing Him and doing what He said? Are we ready for the reward? If we haven't heard His voice, if we've never heard His voice, I think it's a reasonable thing for us to ask, are we sheep?
Right.
You know, Paul says in one place, and I didn't write it down, but he says in one place, constantly examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Now, does that mean that we can fall out of faith? No, I don't think that's what he's trying to say there. But we should be examining our hearts. We should be constantly seeking. And if our lives have not changed, if there's been absolutely, that's a process. We're not going to overnight, once we've chosen to follow the Lord, become a Billy Graham. But something ought to be happening. If nothing's happening, then yes, there's a reasonable question to ask. Are we sheep? Have we heard the voice of the Lord? If you haven't heard the voice of the Lord, the opportunity exists. Anytime, we'll give a special opportunity here now. But anytime. The Lord is always calling. And if you're here today and you have heard, you have made Jesus the Lord, but you're not hearing. And you need to know why you're not hearing. There's a whole other, we could go on for another hour on reasons why we don't hear sometimes. And maybe that's a sequel, I don't know.
But if
you want to put yourself back in a place where you can hear, because one thing we do know, sin separates us.
Yes, it does.
Sin keeps us from being able to hear from the Lord. He can't have anything to do with sin. But thank God, because of that sacrifice that He made, all we have to do is come to Him and repent.
That's right. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, I thank You. I thank You so much that You are calling. I thank You that You do seek after us like the Good Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
That we are able, because of the sacrifice that You made, because You did give Your life, we're able to hear that voice. We're able to respond and we're able to become Your children. Thank You, Lord. And I pray that all of us, myself included, would make a greater effort to hear and obey and to be the kind of people that this world needs to spread Your word, to spread Your love throughout this city, throughout this country, throughout this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank You.